And if you want one and you weren't here last week or anything, I'll have an extra. Or if like you weren't here for the last 2 weeks and you want to know what I talked about, you know, like I said, I got deeds. Want You want like 50 level down? Yeah, I'll do next week. Okay. So that's what I talked about 2 weeks ago, and we kind of did the implications and applications of things. We have one more Wednesday in here. That's next week. And then the Wednesday after that, we will not be here, and we will not have the meals in the fellowship hall. We're going to be meeting at Robert Schermeyer's house. We'll have a meal there at 6 o'clock, pizza, just so you know where it is. I think, unless Leanna changes her mind. That's what she told me. It's going to be pizza at 6 o'clock at Robert Schermeyer's house. We're going to do baptisms down there. And that'll be the last Wednesday night activity until we come back in the fall. So we got two more Wednesday night activities after today. Next week, that's normal, and then the special baptism one. Does that all make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Y'all get to ask questions. You don't get to ask questions on Sunday.
Thank you.
If you need an address, I saw that Teresa put it in the bulletin, and there's still extra bulletins in the back. So you can pick up one of the bulletins in the back that has their address there. It's pretty easy to find, though. Their house is not very far. So today, I was going to have us talk about angels, which falls pretty naturally in this discussion. We've been talking about creation and how God created things, and angels are just a very unique class. And originally, I was going to do angels and demons together today, but I'll admit to you guys, as I started to fall down the rabbit hole of angels, I realized that there was a lot of stuff to talk about that I didn't even realize there was to talk about angels. So instead of doing angels and demons together, I'm going to do just angels, the good ones today, and we'll do the demons, the bad ones next week. Because I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm like, we got 40 minutes. I got way more than 40 minutes worth of material in here. So we'll have fun trying to discuss this complicated topic. You know, for a lot of people, even if they don't believe in angels, we have ideas. We know what angels are. Now, angels are like a classic part of culture. And everybody has their idea of what angels look like and what kind of stuff they do. So I want to ask you guys, when I say the word angel, like what comes to your mind? What picture pops up?
Halo.
Halo, yeah.
Cutesy.
Kind of cutesy, yeah.
A spiritual being.
Yeah, kind of spiritual.
Thank you, man.
Men, mostly men. Yeah, you don't see a lot of pictures of women angels.
Protection.
Yeah, protection. People think about protection when they think of angels. What?
They guard you and can
Guarding you.
and what is it? Space. They can be anywhere. Fly, go
They
anywhere.
can fly, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, nobody mentioned wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, wings. Usually wearing white robes, right?
I got a good one. Angels is how I find my husband.
Oh gosh.
Doing very it's really good. One of the ladies, I went to work as my hostess for like sizzling because I needed a job. And the lady behind me was singing the song about Amy Grant, Angels Watching Over Me. And I said, I like that song. And she said, oh, God, Scott, would you keep it?
Wow, Amy Grant song. I'll talk about
that. Okay, sorry.
So, Eric, you know, we got a lot of ideas already about angels. Why do you think it might be important for us to bring up this topic and talk about it as believers?
Maybe to better understand
Yeah, certainly fun.
what their role truly is,
Yeah.
the problem of scripture.
They are prominent in scripture, a lot of places.
I need to acknowledge them more.
Acknowledge them more so we can acknowledge their existence a little bit better.
Thank you. They were never.
You know, angels are, it's a very difficult topic in scripture for several reasons. One, is there's not like one place in scripture where it gives you an idea of what angels are. Most of the time when angels pop up in scripture, they're like little minor side characters to stories. You know, they're there, but they're not the main feature. It's usually God and the stuff happening, that kind of stuff. And so because they're never the main feature of anything, the Bible doesn't talk about them a lot. They're also hard to discuss because some people get really adamant about what they believe angels are like. And they get real passionate about angels. And you start diving into stuff like, do we become angels? Do we have guardian angels? Do angels have wings? You know, people can get really serious and really upset when you start tapping into these beliefs and questioning, you know, biblical thoughts, whether they're actually biblical or not. And so the combination of people's adamancy with some stuff, with the fact the Bible is really not super clear about everything, makes it a very difficult topic and also makes it a real fun topic to talk about. And that's what we're going to be going to today. So angels, we're going to talk about like the good spiritual beings. They have a lot of different names in the Bible. Like in the Old Testament, they're called sons of God, holy ones, spirits, watchers, the council, the assembly, or just angelic hosts or heavenly hosts. In the New Testament, they're also called thrones and dominions and principalities and authorities, hosts, spirits, powers. So they got a lot of ideas that come from what these angels are. And the question is, what exactly do they do? And what are they in their characteristics? I'm going to be watching the time because I want to make sure we do this. I want to talk about what they are, and then I want to answer some frequently asked questions about them. I've got a few that I know of, and maybe I'm going to give you guys a chance to ask some yourself. But the first thing we know about angels is that they are created beings, that they are created. How do we know that angels are created beings and not an eternal being like God is? Doesn't tell us that. What? Quiet today. There's no more meatloaf. Isn't that easy?
We ain't too much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. start putting some caffeine.
I just think we don't know. There's so many things you're asking.
Yeah. So there's a couple reasons we know angels are created. One is if angels weren't created, then you have the dilemma that God is not the only eternal being in the world. I'm sorry to say creation. You know what I mean? So for God is the only thing that is an uncreated being. Thus, angels have to be created. And then secondly, there are some places that mention that, like Psalm 148, 2 through 5. Who wants to read that? Psalm 148, 2 through 5. Thanks, Joyce.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Is that 3 5?
Yes. 148, 2 through 5.
Yeah. I thought I missed it. Did it mention the created things?
And then they were created.
Oh, yeah, I must have missed it when you were reading it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, verse 5 says they were created.
Yeah, when he commanded, they were created.
Yeah.
Set the part of mine.
Pull it up real quick.
And he established them forever in 6.
Yeah, verse 5.
Essentially.
Where he commanded and they created them. So verse 2 through 4 mentions things that God created. And then verse 5 says, praise them because they're created. When were they created? Well, the honest answer is we don't really know. We know that they were released before the seventh day because of what Genesis 2:1 says. Who wants to read Genesis 2:1?
So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed.
Yeah, on the sixth day. So we know that at least the heavens were created by the sixth day of creation. Some people think that maybe they were created on the first day. If you read Genesis 1:1, and 1:2. Somebody read those two verses for us, and let me show you what I mean.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Yeah. So if you pay attention to verse 2, verse 1 mentions the heavens and the earth, but verse 2 only mentions that the earth was formless and void. So some people have speculated, well, maybe the heavens wasn't also included in verse 2 because the angels were created and it wasn't formless and void. Does that make sense? That's kind of, you know, we don't know for sure. And a lot of this angel stuff, you know, when we hear that today, like, we don't know for sure. But that's a possibility that that's when they were created. Now, next week, we'll talk about when they fell, the bad ones, what happened with your demons. But we know that to be sure. So as created beings, how does that affect their relationship to God?
They're subordinate to Him.
They are subordinate. That's one thing. They're subordinate to God.
And they're messengers for God.
Yeah, so they're designed to support God or help God.
They're loyal to Him, the ones that are left.
Yeah, the ones that are left are loyal to Him.
Because that's obviously going to be your question. How is that going to happen?
Next week.
Stay tuned. Right?
Stay tuned.
Okay.
I mean, we said everything was created for God's glory. You know, so they were created for God's glory. And they certainly do a good job of that. And so a lot of the stuff that we say about us, you know, we usually think of angels as being so powerful, but really they're created beings just like us. They're just different created beings from we are. The second thing, so they're created. The second thing we need to know is they have spiritual bodies, but they're limited spiritual bodies. It's not like God. In other words, angels are not omnipresent. They can't be everywhere at once. So Hebrews 1:14 calls them spirits. Let's read Hebrews 1:14. Thanks, Leah.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to provide service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?
Yeah, that's a very important verse, by the way, Hebrews 1:14. We'll come up to that one a lot. But he calls them spirits. In other words, they don't have physical bodies like we do. Because of that, that results in several things. One, their typical form is they're invisible, that we can't see them. And the only way we can see them is either they have to reveal themselves to us or God has to open our eyes to where they are. And that happens several times in the Bible, like Numbers 22:31 and 2 Kings 6:17. Who wants to read Numbers 22:31? Numbers 22:31. These are times where God opens people's eyes. This is the fun one. This is Balaam's donkey story.
22:31.
22:31. And then 2 Kings 6:17.
6:17.
All right.
Numbers 22:31.
Yep.
Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down.
Yeah. In that story, if you're familiar with it, the angel of the Lord keeps trying to kill Balaam, and Balaam can't see him because he's invisible. Because that's what we're talking about. He's a spiritual being that's usually invisible. But for some reason, his donkey can, and the donkey keeps running away, and Balaam gets mad at the donkey and keeps beating it. And then God opens Balaam's eyes to see the donkey's actually been saving his life the whole time by running away from this angel. And then one of my favorite stories, 2 Kings 6:17.
And Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Lord, open the young man's eyes." And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire.
Yeah. So in that story, an army gets mad because Elisha, through God's prophecies, is helping the king of Israel defeat, I think it's the king of Edom. And so he sends an army to Elisha to capture, a whole army to capture one man. And Elijah's like, it's no big deal. And the kid that's next to him is freaking out. And he says, Lord, will you open his eyes so he can see why it's no big deal? He does. And he realizes the army that's with Elisha is way bigger than the army that was sent to capture him. But he had to open his eyes to see that reality. And of course, you guys know several stories, I'm sure, where angels themselves appeared. They manifested themselves in front of people. So we know they can do that as well. The last thing to realize is, like I said, they can only be at one place at one time. They're not omnipresent like God is. They're like us, more like them. And one of the best passages that shows that is Daniel 10, 12 through 14, one of the more interesting ones in the Old Testament. Daniel 10, 12 through 14. This is a fun passage.
I got it.
All right, thanks, Carolyn.
Daniel 10, 12 through 14.
Yeah.
And he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future.
One of the few times in the Bible where God reveals some of the spiritual warfare going on between angels and demons. Apparently, God sent this angel to talk to Daniel about something, but the Daniel was prohibited by these demons called the princes of Lebanon or princes of Persia and stuff. And he was basically in a fight with them for several days until another angel had to come and save it. And then he was able to go to Daniel and fulfill his mission. And so that story shows that they are like creatures like us, where they can only be in one place at one time. And because of that, they can be prohibited from going places. So that's a unique feature. So number three, they have human-like intelligence. Of all the creatures that God created, none are closer to what we are like but the angels. They're probably the closest to humans that God ever created anything else. One, like we'll see next week, they at least had the ability to make moral judgments and to make moral choices whether they would obey God or not, which is a unique for God's creation. We're the only ones that had that ability to, at least the angels did for a period of time. Number two, they can speak words. They can reason. They can have thought, just like we can. Number three, they apparently have personal identity. Gabriel, Michael, the only reason you have names is if you have personal identity. And you can interact with them like they are people. And so they have very human-like qualities about them in their intelligence level. Most similar than all the other rest of creation.
Can they physically touch?
Yeah, I'm sure they could. Well, I know they can because they can pick people up. Yeah. Number four, this one should be no surprise, but they are powerful. We're going through these a little fast to make sure we get to the questions. But they are powerful. They are more powerful in strength level than we are. This is shown in several ways. One is that some of their titles show they have power. They're called powers, they're called dominions, they're called authorities. Scripture tells us they are strong in Psalm 103:20. So let's read Psalm 103:20.
I'll read it once I find it.
Okay. I'll keep going and we can get back to Psalm 103:20. And then there's actually a specific reference in 2 Peter where he says angels are stronger than people are. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Who wants to read those two verses? 2 Peter 2, 10 and 11. All right, thanks, Vance. Go ahead and read Psalm 103:20.
Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word.
Yeah, so he calls them you mighty ones, that they have strength. And then they're stronger than us, according to 2 Peter 2, 10 through 11.
And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. They will conduct self-will, they will not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them. So
yeah. Is that all, beloved? So he's comparing wicked people who blaspheme anything. And he says, even the angels who are mightier than we are wouldn't do that. And so he explicitly says that angels have more strength than us. Even Matthew 28, when you look at the resurrection of Jesus, it would take a ton of men to move the stone away from the tomb, but it only took one angel to move it out of the way. And so they have extraordinary strength and power and might, more so than we do. The final thing we learn about angels in general is that, like somebody said, their job is to carry out God's plans on earth. That is what their task is, to do what God tells them to do. Specifically, four things. One, to carry out God's judgment. A lot of times in the Bible, when you see a judgment coming on somebody, an angel is mentioned. Anybody got any references that you remember where an angel is mentioned as the agent of God's judgment? What?
The story of Lot.
Lot, yeah, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels were involved in the judgment there. They didn't necessarily send the judgment, that they were involved in the whole process.
Who was Jacob?
A pre-incarnation of Jesus. So Moses, the final plague that kills the firstborn, that's called the angel of death. If you read that story, who comes in and kills all the firstborns in Egypt. In other places, 2 Samuel talks about an angel bringing a plague. 2 Chronicles talk about an angel smiting leaders. Revelation talks about angels pouring out bowls of wrath. So they're involved in God's judgment. Secondly, they're involved as God's representatives and on earth to monitor the earth. So that's probably more like the Sodom and Gomorrah thing. Like their job is to kind of look and monitor and almost police the earth. Like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Zechariah 1 also talks about that. And I'm going a little fast, but I want to make sure I get to these good eggs. Number three, as we've said, they battle demons. They battle the spiritual forces that are trying to get us and try to keep those forces at bay. Aren't we glad about that? That the demons don't have to just free reign, the angels help battle those back. And then number four, they will be involved in Jesus' return. They are the army, along with believers who have died, that will come back with Jesus and his return.
Well, that was Jesus' tomb.
Mm-hmm.
As the women. How would that be categorized? Judgment.
When he talks to the women?
Uh-huh.
God's representative on earth.
Angels don't die soon.
Yes, before killing Isaac. Yeah.
And when they announced the birth of Jesus, that the Messiah was coming,
mm-hmm.
that would be a messenger, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. So let's actually talk about a little bit how our angels relate to us specifically as people. This is where we get a little bit more closer to home. And the first thing you need to realize that even though angels, we like to think of them as being these mysterious, all-powerful creatures, in God's plan, we are more important than the angels are. And he tells us that in two places. One is Hebrews 2:7, and the other one is 1 Corinthians 6:3. So who wants to read those? Hebrews 2:7 and 1 Corinthians 6:3. Hebrews 2:7. 2:7.
The all in 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 6:3. Yeah.
And yet for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor.
So he says just for a little while. In other words, not permanently, we're lower than the angels. And then 1 Corinthians 6:3 talks about it later time.
Do you not know that we are to judge angels how much more than matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church?
Yeah, so he says one day we'll be judges over angels as Christians. that we'll be able to dictate what they're doing in eternity. So what does this look like? How else do we know that we're better? Well, one, angels are never said to be in the image of God. Do you realize that? The only creation that was said to be in the image of God is us. And that the image of God, and I'm hoping we can talk about this in the fall, it's a big deal. It's what separates us from everybody else. And so we have that honor that the angels don't have, whatever the image of God is in us. And secondly, angels are not allowed to marry. Jesus says this, and we are. And so that we have an ability to get married and stuff that angels don't have. Third, angels are not allowed to switch teams, if I can put it that way. God did not provide a way for them to be forgiven if they sin. I don't know if you realize this, but you know, Jesus, he died on the cross to forgive us, but nowhere in the Bible does it say that angels are given a shot at forgiveness. That when they sin, that's it. They're done. And there's actually specific places that mention that once angels sin, they're set for judgment, and there's no second chance like we get in Jesus. Like 2 Peter 2:4. Who wants to read that one? 2 Peter 2:4. All right, Leah. And then Jude 6. Jude, that's a tough one to find in the Bible, one page. Jude verse 6. And then Hebrews 2:16. I think Laurel said she was going to get Jude 6. And then Hebrews 2:16. Okay. Go ahead, Leah. Yeah, 2:4.
For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, held for judgment.
Yeah, it says God doesn't spare the angels. If they sin, if they disobey him, they just go straight to judgment. Or they're set for judgment. Jude 6.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but their own habitation, he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of the great day.
Yeah, same thing. And then Hebrews 2:16.
We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham.
So Jesus didn't come for the angels. He came for us. So what does that mean? It means that we're more important than angels are to God. It also should give us a heart and a pause and realize that God could have done the same thing to us that he did to angels. God didn't have to send Jesus to save us. He could have sent us straight to judgment when we sin, just like he sends the angels straight to judgment when they sin. But he decided to treat us differently and give us a shot at mercy and grace. How does that make you feel as a believer? More important, yeah.
But sad for them.
Yeah.
Did he give them free will, I guess?
Next week.
Oh.
You know, just something to think about.
Super Bowl.
Huh?
So you're worse than a Super Bowl.
I'm worse than a Super Bowl. You know, lots of people feel like God had to save us. Like he was pushed to do it. But then when you read about angels, you realize he didn't have to save us. He could have been just justified with treating us just like he treated the angels. So it really shows his grace and mercy toward us and what he did.
Well, then it shows overall peace and comfort. We
were less than
angels.
Yes. So as mighty as they are, we're greater than the angels. So the second thing about us and angels is angels are created partially to guard, serve, protect, and speak to us. We've kind of mentioned this already. Hebrews 1:14 that Leah read earlier, it calls them ministering spirits for us. So part of their job is to help us. We don't help the angels. The angels help us. And third, their job is to speak to people for God. You know, we don't have that happen often. You know, it's mostly read about that in the Bible, even though I've heard stories from like the mission field where people have talked about seeing angels and stuff, and you can make that what you will. But that does seem to be one of their jobs, is to send messages from God to people. Why should we use caution when it comes to people who claim they've received messages from angels today? I mean, why is that something that we say they're capable of doing, sure, but why should we use caution about people and stories about that?
I have to say, because the devil's here to trick them out.
Yeah, because it could be a bad angel that got the message from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's good and bad angels, you never know which, what change in the start.
I mean, the bad angels aren't dressed in red with pointy horns and pitchfork. You know what bad angels look like? They look like good angels. The 2 Corinthians says that they look like angels of light. They don't look any different from one another. And so that's why you got to be careful when we do talk about angels appearing today, is you can't by their appearance tell if it's a good one or a bad one. So that's why the caution is there. And see, that's when culture messes us up, because that ain't as easy as we want to think it is.
As people, we've written a lot of songs that include angels.
Particularly
Christmas time, but it just went through the hymn book, you find a lot of angels.
Yeah, and angels, I mean, as
celebrated in the feast.
Yeah, as Ben said, angels appear in the Bible a lot. They're not, there's not one place where it's like it talks a lot about them, but they just pop up in places, like in the Psalms, it mentions them and stuff.
When they say the angel of the Lord, then that's the, there's angels of the Lord, and there's the other ones you were talking about.
Yeah, so the angel of the Lord, this is actually one of my frequently asked questions, but we'll go ahead and discuss it. Sometimes it means like the Lord's angel. You know, it's just a angel that belongs to God. At other times, it's a capital A, the angel of the Lord. And when that's that, a lot of times we believe that it's a appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. But the problem is, you can't tell if it really is the angel of the Lord, capital A, or the Lord's angel, lowercase a. You have to really kind of pay attention to what's going on in the story to figure out which one it is.
Capital A is Jesus.
Yeah. So the story of Jacob, where he wrestles with the angel of the Lord, most people feel like that was, he was wrestling with Jesus, Son of God. Because after he wins or loses, he says, I wrestled with God. He realized that he wrestled with God himself. Does that answer your question? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the one in the fire, probably the pre-Old Testament appearance of Jesus, that kind of stuff. So the last thing about angels related to us is that angels worship God with us. And I don't mean just like in heaven. I mean like when we worship on earth, angels worship with us at the same time. And angels are watching what we're doing and participating in our deeds as Christians. Somebody read Hebrews 12:22.
Read what?
Hebrews 12:22. Yes.
Okay. Now, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the countless thousands of angels in the joyful gathering.
So he says, as Christians, we come before God with the angels and the caps of gathering to worship God. And we'll skip some of these passages for time reasons. Of course, Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story where all the angels are worshiping Jesus' birth. 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul tells Timothy that as he does his life in the church as a Christian, that angels are watching him and seeing and rejoicing when he does good things. Who wants to read 1 Timothy 3:16?
Okay.
All right.
Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
Okay, that was actually about Christ being seen by the angels while he was here. Someone read 1 Timothy 5:21. And then I have 1 Corinthians 11:10. 1 Corinthians 5:21, though.
Okay.
All right. We have 1 Corinthians 11:10.
I charge you.
Okay. Well.
In the sight of God, in Christ Jesus, and the 11 angels, to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism.
Yeah. So he says, as Christian, realize that the angels are watching what we're doing. And as we worship God and we obey God. And then 1 Corinthians 11:10, Paul talking to women in the church says, be careful how you worship in the church because angels are watching you. 1 Corinthians 11:10.
For this cause, ought the women to have power on her heads because of angels.
Yeah. Now, that's a very confusing verse that we can't, like, get super deep into. But the point is that the angels are watching us as we worship to see how we're worshiping them. And so how does it make you feel to know that as you're going through your life as a believer, you're obeying God, you're worshiping Him, you're coming to church, that angels are actually there worshiping and watching and participating with you what you're doing? How does that make you feel?
Exposed.
That's one way, actually. I mean, I've did my research, I'm like, it actually can be kind of nerve-wracking to think that about the angels always are there watching. Anybody else felt any different, or does everybody feel exposed?
What's that song I was feeling? Somebody's watching me.
Somebody's watching me, yeah.
Well, have we been assigned angels anyway?
Good question. That's all my FAQ ones that we're going to talk about next, actually the next topic.
Do they look away when we're messing up?
There doesn't seem to be an indication that they look away enough.
Can they keep a secret?
It's comforting that in that
you're not a comfort then.
Every interaction in the Bible leads to good things when angels show up.
Yeah.
For those in God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
So
it certainly elevates the obedience and worship to another level when you realize the angels are doing it with you. I don't got much time, but let me try to hit some of these. One is the guardian angels thing. There's a couple of passages, I wish we have time to read them, but we don't, that people sometimes point to. One's Matthew 18:10. It says that we need to take care of children because their angels are before God. The other one's Acts 12:15 that says when Peter was in prison, they heard a knock on the door and they thought it was Peter's angel knocking on the door. The question a lot of people ask is, well, do these passages mean that each individual has an angel assigned to them? And the simple answer is no, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that every individual person has one angel assigned to them that's their guardian angel. For one, Matthew 18:10 says that the kids' angels are actually by God, not by the kid themselves. And so that passage can't be used for guardian angels. But what the Bible does say is even better than that. Because when you do read the Bible about people and when you're exposed to the protection of God over them, it's never one angel, it's lots of angels. Like the Elisha story with the chariots of fire everywhere. Jesus, when he's on the cross, where he said he called down legions of angels. Everywhere where an angel does appear, there's always many of them that are there. So you can take heart in that. The second thing is, okay, even if you don't have a guardian angel, you have God that watches over you. And I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have God watch over me than one of his little lackeys. So, the Bible doesn't say we have one angel. It actually says stuff that's better, that God himself is watching over us, and he has many angels, basically like a zone defense, floating around to protect us, instead of it being like a man-to-man defense with us. Another question a lot of people ask is, do we become angels when we die? And the answer, again, simply for that is no. We don't become angels. What's funny about that is the same two verses that people use for guardian angels, they use to try to prove that you become an angel. They would say in those two that the angel of the kids or the kids have turned into angels, and the angel of Peter is that Peter turned into an angel. But nothing in the Bible says that we go and become angels. One, they're completely different creatures from we are. Secondly, what the Bible does say, it says that we go to be with Jesus and we stay ourselves. And so people do not become, we don't earn our means when we die. That's not true. But that's something that a lot of people feel like, is that you become an angel.
How do you tell a child that that's not true?
That we don't become angels?
After an adult has told them that so-and-so passed away, and now they're angels, and they'll look after you.
And they receive their wings.
Yeah, I hear that. Like, I hear that all the time, that people receive their wings when they die.
Miracle on
34th Street. Miracle on 34th Street. You know, telling the kids are hard, especially if that's what they're looking forward to. You know, the Bible does not say people can't see on earth while they're in heaven. It doesn't say if you can or they can't. You know, for a kid, I would say, look, you know, your loved one, mom or dad or grandmother, whatever, you know, they may be watching over you, but they're not an angel. They're watching over you as themselves. You know, they didn't turn into some other creature. I almost said mythical, but not mythical. They're still themselves. They're just watching over you as themselves, not as an angel.
So when you're saved, you get your angels, you get the squad. And
and more importantly, you get Jesus.
But when I'm thinking about all the process, you're just starting fast.
Yeah.
So they're going to see some things because you
Yeah.
What did they do with that?
They grieve when you sin, and they rejoice when you do good things. The Bible says when somebody gets saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. So they celebrate and rejoice when you do good things, and they grieve when you do bad things. Yeah.
Is it okay to pray for angels to watch over your children? Or
I'm sure.
Situation? It's okay to pray that the Lord just send angels to watch them, whether it's angels in the form of a human being that's ministering to the person, or of somebody filling the gap, or if it's God who sent an angel to intervene in a supernatural way, right?
That's
okay to pray that way, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fine to pray that angels come, or the opposite, to pray that demons stay away. I think it's fine to ask God, because remember, God is the one in control.
Right.
And so you're still relying on God to be the one to be in control of the situation.
Be in charge of it.
Yeah. You know, what you don't want to do is pray to an angel themselves.
Oh, no. But for God to send angels, to use angels to the benefit of
them. Mm-hmm. That's a good question, Adam. Any others?
So that's when you report back, because God knows you want it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't just report anything to God.
Maybe we use angels to whisper in our conversations.
I would think so.
I mean, because, you know, for like Ellie, since she lost her famous sister, you know, it's comforting, you know, we said that Katya is the one.
You know, and what I've found is that I've found kids feeling more comforted knowing that somebody's an angel compared to just saying they're with Jesus, which is the truth. So if just saying the truth is just as comforting as saying they're an angel, just say the truth. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I agree. I think we, growing up, we all went to the sanctuary together. We were all taught together. Sunday school and Sunday night, we had our private keyboard with our little classes, but as a whole, we were all taught the same. And we didn't have to do the group where we went and were fed and entertained.
Yeah.
We studied the Bible together. And as a child, I learned the facts as I was taught, not as what someone else told
you. Yeah. You know, I think for a lot of people, I mean, the sermons, nobody does a sermon on angels. You rarely hear Bible studies on angels. So I think a lot, we just get fed with what the culture tells us happens.
Yeah.
And we just don't even think about whether the culture is right or not, you know?
I had a lady that wanted me to thank a picture of her son that died. And put angels on.
before I come home to hell, I'm just going to do that. And
actually, most angels don't have wings, too, which is something else I had in there we didn't have time to talk about.
Because
only special angels have wings, not all of them. The cherubim. Most angels don't even have wings. They definitely don't have halos.
So who carries swords?
Angels carry swords. And of course the archangel, Michael, and any other archangels there might be out there.
Do you think angels have souls, or is that something that separates?
No, they don't. They are like a soul. That's their existence. They don't have physical bodies like we do, where you have a soul and a body. So they don't have, they are a soul. Does that make sense?
We entertain them unawares in the physical world.
They feel physical, you mean?
No, where the Bible talks about us being careful
mm-hmm.
who we entertain, because
yeah. There
have been times that you entertain angels unawares. Mm-hmm. So, like, do they have the capacity to take on physical form?
Yes. Yeah, they can take on a physical form. You know, the angels move the tomb, rock. They can pick up people in the Bible. There's times where they picked up people. Inside the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, they push people. They drag Lot out of the city. So they're able to take on, like physical form, probably because of God, God's power on them. It might not necessarily be their own personal power. It might be God working through them.
Do you feel like they could show up to people in an accident and pray for them?
Yeah, probably. Again, that falls under the category of, like, you know, can angels appear to people today? Yes. You just gotta, you know, you just gotta be cautious about those kind of stories. But we can't say they don't appear to people anymore. I had quite a bit more stuff I want to talk about, but we hit the highlights. And, you know, the only thing we didn't get into that I really wanted to is talking about the cherubim, the seraphim, and the living creatures, which is, if you've ever gone through like a social media rabbit hole and you've seen people are like, these are what angels look like, and they look real, like, really funky, those are actually the living creatures and not angels that they're describing. Don't go down that rabbit hole if you haven't yet. you know, it's a very interesting topic, and we'll be able to visit some of this stuff again, maybe some of that other stuff when we do demons next week. Talk about the bad form of them and how they did that, and what's special about them. Well, let me pray for us. Dang, I thank you for honesty of today, Lord, and we're thankful for your word and the way you teach us. And God, we're thankful for, first, for your grace and forgiveness, that unlike the angels, that you didn't leave us in our sin to face judgment, Lord, but you did provide for us a way to be forgiven, to have our sins removed, and to come back to eternal life. And we're thankful for your grace and your mercy upon us. And we're thankful for your servants, whom you created for our help, Lord, to draw us close to you. And I pray that we would be people that follow you and obey you and worship you like the angels do in heaven. Just like you say in your prayer, that kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that be true. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So this is an